Hello, dear friends. Carol Side here with an important message from my heart. I'm sorry to say that when the founders of the homeschool movement died, their messages actually died with them. We don't want that to happen with Homeschool Made Simple. To that end, we have recently become a nonprofit ministry and are working hard to ensure this simple, inexpensive, and enjoyable method of educating our children will continue for many generations to come. If you and your family have benefited from our ministry, would you consider partnering with us financially? Our board has told us that monthly commitments are extremely helpful because they allow us to plan for the year. But one-time gifts here at the end of the year are also very much appreciated. As you pray together daily as a family, would you pray that the Lord would bless and guide us as we look to the future? And please visit our website, homeschoolmadesimple.net/donate, to partner with us in this next chapter. We can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. Blessings.
Are you looking for books to read with your boys, or would you like some encouragement as you raise future men? This episode is for you. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. JJ Side is a pastor in Oklahoma City, where he and his wife live and homeschool their own four children using this method. In this episode, JJ shares his favorite books for boys and some books on raising boys that you don't want to miss. Before we jump into the episode, I want to tell you about our free book list to help you build your family's home library. If you want to download the list, visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/booklist. Now let's get into the episode. Listen in.
JJ Side here. It's good to be on the podcast with you all, here to talk about books for boys. I've got a list here of books that I enjoyed when I was young and books that I've also enjoyed reading to my three sons, and we might take a few minutes to also talk about books on raising boys and books on parenting. So let's go ahead and jump in. A book that stands out for me growing up was the American Boys Handbook. And I'm sure we can drop these titles in the show notes so you don't have to feel like you're scribbling madly as I talk. But this book from a bygone time was sort of the Boy Scouts handbook. Everything from building a raft to a teepee to a lantern that would float up into the sky with a candle, and everything in between, how to trap wild animals and how to fashion various weapons. A book that I spent so many hours poring over as a kid, and I've had fun reading out loud to my boys as well. A much more recent book in a similar vein is called The Dangerous Book for Boys. And my sons and I spent a long Saturday afternoon with X-Acto knives and balsa wood and glue and various other implements building a flying contraption that we wound up and sent flapping away and filmed on its inaugural flight, and just had a ton of fun building this contraption out of The Dangerous Book for Boys. So there are two books that'll keep your sons busy outside building and exploring and learning how to get their hands dirty. An author I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, Jack London, a classic author, books like White Fang and The Call of the Wild. I'm realizing that as I think back to reading those as a boy, I remember the emotions almost more than I remember every detail of those stories. I remember what it felt like to read about wild places and to read about an animal who was raised in a domesticated context and then sort of tapped into and rediscovered some of its native wildness. So there's so much there about men and wild places and things to conquer and adventures and danger. Fantastic books by Jack London. Another series that I loved reading over and over as a boy and that I've read aloud to my sons is The Chronicles of Prydain by Lloyd Alexander. Lloyd Alexander is the kind of author that if you enjoy one of his books, you should go to the library and find everything else that he's written. But The Chronicles of Prydain feature this young boy who longs for adventure and glory and manhood and learns along the way that it's not always what he thinks it looks like. And it involves humility and sacrifice and suffering and courage and risk and patience. And so I think there's so many beautiful things encapsulated in that series. It's funny, it's well written, If you enjoyed the Narnia books or the Tolkien books, this is sort of adjacent to that, but written at a more accessible level. I also really enjoyed reading the Great Brain series by John Fitzgerald. It has some interesting things in it that may not be appropriate for all ages. Certainly some lack of judgment on the part of the main character. He's not always an ethical character, but they're very entertaining stories, and the kind of hijinks that he gets himself into serve as an object lesson in negative, I suppose. Of course, a book that many of you know about, Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry, where a young man in a native setting is going through a rite of passage that his tribe ushers young men through. And we live in an age where rites of passage are increasingly rare, and we're not quite sure how to help young men and young women transition from childhood to adulthood. And so I think that book sort of invites us to reflect on those things together. You may be familiar with the Redwall series. The Redwall series is just incredible. There are so many books in that series by Brian Jakes, and he wrote some of the best descriptions of food that you'll ever find in any children's book. And there are villains, and there is danger, and there is bravery and adventure, and everything is written really palpably. For a kid, if you have a kid that burns through books, these books will at least keep that kid busy for a while, because they're thick and there's a whole lot of them. A book that's near and dear to my heart is The White Company by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Most of us know Arthur Conan Doyle as being the creator of Sherlock Holmes. A much lesser known book written by him, The White Company, tells about English archers in Old England who go to France to fight in the wars, and the bonds they form together, and the settings in which they do battle, and the challenges they overcome, and sort of tracing the story of the main protagonist from boyhood to adulthood to eventually marriage and knighthood, is just beautiful, well written. You're going to want to track down the edition with illustrations by N.C. Wyeth, which is the only way to read that book. And that's something that I enjoyed reading out loud to my three boys, The White Company. I also recommend The Dragon King Trilogy by Stephen Lawhead. Many of Stephen Lawhead's books are meant to be read aloud by mature readers, young adults, juniors and seniors in high schools, perhaps juniors and seniors in high school, perhaps. But The Dragon King Trilogy is deliberately written to a younger audience with less mature themes, something you can put in the hands of your middle school reader, but a ton of adventure, beautifully written. He's invented a compelling world. And I found myself as an adult thinking back to some of the lessons and the things that are illustrated through those books in the Dragon King Trilogy. I found myself reading those again and again as a young boy. You're probably familiar with C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy, Out of the Silent Planet, Paralandra, and That Hideous Strength. Some people are put off by Out of the Silent Planet, which echoes many of Jules Verne's sort of scientific adventures, and they never quite make it to Paralandra, which I consider one of the greatest books I've ever read, and something that I make a habit of revisiting and rereading every couple of years in my adult life. And so maybe if Out of the Silent Planet wasn't quite your speed, it's worth persisting until you get to Paralandra. Again, people can be thrown off when they get to the third book, That Hideous Strength, which is sort of a psychological thriller, you might say. And so each of the three books is sort of derivative of different genres. Lewis obviously read very widely and self-consciously used the different kinds of tones and settings of each of those three books to mirror the things that he wanted to write about. But I think all three of them are worth our time and attention. And like I said, I think Paralandra is the pinnacle and is worth revisiting frequently. Howard Pyle was an author who was also an illustrator. And so when you pick up one of Howard Pyle's books, there are these beautiful black and white pen and ink drawings that are intricate and beautiful and full of adventure. There's swords and shields and battles and characters drawn with compelling imagery. So I grew up reading his Robin Hood many, many times, and particularly a book called The Wonder Clock by Howard Pyle, 24 tales, one for each hour of the day. And the characters in The Wonder Clock are going to illustrate themes of strength and courage and humility and the need for men to provide and protect and take initiative and cultivate honor and loyalty and compassion, the need for men to be both tough and tender, to have a thick skin and a soft heart. So I love how Howard Pyle's books illustrate and reinforce some of those virtues. Another wonderful book by Howard Pyle is Otto of the Silver Hand, which again sort of pokes at some of our stereotypical and perhaps unbiblical versions of faux masculinity in our culture and illustrates what true courage looks like, what true masculine virtue looks like, in ways that work against the stereotypes of people who seem to be strong and yet actually lack the virtue and the fiber needed when push comes to shove. And so the chief protagonist in that book is actually very humble and yet also very brave. A wonderful book that I read out loud to my kids as well. If you have more mature readers, I can commend the Song of Albion trilogy by Stephen Lawhead. This is Celtic mythology with Christ themes woven through skillfully, echoes of many other great books that you'll recognize if you've read Lewis or if you've read Tolkien, sort of implicit tributes hidden throughout those books to those great authors. These are spellbinding books for an adult reader. I just finished reading that trilogy out loud to my boys, and because I was reading aloud, I was able to edit, you know, where something might be PG-13 and it needed to be PG or G. I could use my judgment to edit as I read aloud. But if you have, you know, a 17-year-old, you can probably put those books in his hand and he could be sucked in by them very easily. Another book I really enjoyed reading out loud to my boys recently, My Side of the Mountain by Jean Craighead George, a young boy withdrawing from civilization, figuring out how to live off the land and to live by his wits and to access the things he's read in his local library about how to forage and build fires and skin animals and tan the hides. Just utterly entertaining to read that out loud to my boys. In a similar vein, Hatchet by Gary Paulsen, and pretty much anything else that Gary Paulsen has written. We went on a bit of a Gary Paulsen jag with my boys, just reading everything we could find. One of his seemingly underrated books is actually nonfiction called Winter Dance, which is about how Gary Paulsen ran the Iditarod with sled dogs, one of the most dangerous and difficult races in the world. He ran it twice, easily could have died multiple times. The book does have some mature language. Again, I had the privilege of reading it out loud to my boys and sort of editing on the fly where there was inappropriate language. So just be aware of that. Another book in a similar vein is True Grit by Charles Portis. It was made into a film with John Wayne many years ago. It was remade again by the Coen brothers recently with Jeff Bridges and won a ton of awards. But many people have not read the original novel by Charles Portis, who's sort of the novelist laureate of Arkansas, and his humor and his concision of speech and his vivid dialogue and his compelling characters. It's just an incredible novel, an underrated novel, I think. And I also had the chance to read that out loud to my kids, editing some language and content as I went. And we had a blast reading that out loud together. JJ Side here with an update from our ministry partner, Crossway Books. I'm holding in my hands the new Sing hymnal, beautifully typeset in red and black ink, with almost 500 carefully curated hymns led by Keith and Kristen Getty, with advisory council members like Tim Keller and Alistair Begg and John Piper carefully picking some of the most beautiful hymns, both ancient and modern. It also includes over 400 prayers from across church history, something to help you with family worship, something for churches to engage together. I just love this new resource from Crossway. You can pick up a copy of the Sing Hymnal wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/hymns of worship to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the math program our kids have been using for several years now called CTC Math. I asked my wife and kids for things they like about CTC Math, and my wife mentioned how there's one price for all your kids, how easy it is to look back at what we've already covered as well as look ahead to what we're going to cover in the coming year. You get access to the whole curriculum from K through 12 all through the year. You can look at it anytime you want. For a lot of other curriculums, you can't get a look ahead at what's coming next year till you've purchased it. And the kids mentioned how concise and clear the teaching is, how the assignments don't feel too long, how he'll teach the same concepts in multiple ways to make sure you catch it, how encouraging the teacher and founder Pat Murray is, and how he presents the concepts in a way that makes you believe you can grasp them too. I can't recommend it highly enough. You can go to ctcmath.com to learn more. Okay, if I haven't lost you with this avalanche of books, a final fiction pick would be Robin Hood by Paul Creswick. I already mentioned Robin Hood by Howard Pyle. That's a skinny book that can be read quickly or read aloud, or a boy could read to himself. This edition of Robin Hood, the Scribner edition with illustrations again by N.C. Wyeth, you might be able to track down online, written by Paul Creswick, is massive. It's a big, thick book, take a long time to read. Again, has some more mature themes. You know, I think a character's beheaded and some different things that might shock a younger reader, but a beautifully written, epic novel, taking the Robin Hood story and elevating it in many ways. And I found myself reading that over and over again growing up, and cherish my edition that's on the shelf in our living room. So those are just a couple of picks, books to either read aloud to boys or to put in your boys' hands that, again, will illustrate some of these masculine virtues that we need to be cultivating in our sons. You know, I think often of Psalm 15, verse 4, that the godly man, Scripture says, is someone who keeps his word even when it hurts, that we would promise something, and then even if it's inconvenient or we regret having made that promise or commitment, that we have the kind of character and virtue to follow through with our commitments with God's help, to be the kinds of sons and brothers and fathers that our society needs, who make strong families and who make the vulnerable feel safe in our presence. These are the kind of virtues that we want to be cultivating in our sons and cultivating in ourselves so that we can model them for our sons. Men with thick skins and soft hearts, men who are tough and tender. And so many of these books that I've named gesture at those virtues in so many good ways. Okay, a couple of books on raising boys. An underrated book that was discovered to me by some of the other pastors here on staff who read widely in this area is called No Apologies by Dr. Anthony Esselin. He's a Catholic professor and author. The subtitle of No Apologies is Why Civilization Depends on the Strength of Men. Now, some people might find his tone abrasive at certain points in the book, but if you sit back and listen to what he's really saying, I think you'll find that he's saying some things that need to be said, and he's saying them boldly and doing some recovery work around why healthy, godly men actually are one of the pillars of a healthy society. Another book that I really love is called Future Men, Raising Boys to Fight Giants. Great title by Doug Wilson, Future Men, Raising Boys to Fight Giants. This book is not abrasive. It's actually very balanced and nuanced. It's very wise. It even gets down into the details of what do you do when your son picks out the kind of friends that you aren't sure are a great influence? How do you parent without being either too passive or controlling? How do you make your home the missional hub in your neighborhood? How do you be both hospitable and wise in how you relate to your neighbors and the kinds of people that you let your son hang out with? So there's so much practical wisdom in that book. Maybe if you weren't raised in a home where that kind of practical wisdom was on display, your generation can be the first generation of parents in your family of origin where some of that wisdom is put into practice. So I highly recommend that book by Doug Wilson. And then another book by one of my personal mentors, Dan Dumas, is called A Guide to Biblical Manhood. It's lesser known. It's published through Southern Seminary, or maybe you could say it's even self-published in a way. But if you jump online and look for A Guide to Biblical Manhood by Dan Dumas, you should be able to track it down. He walks through various male characters in scripture, and he walks through various themes of biblical manhood. And I find the book to be really balanced and wise. If I were to throw another book on that pile, it would be The Masculine Mandate. And I don't have it written down here in front of me. I believe it's by Richard Phillips, former tank commander, who went on to become a Presbyterian pastor, is now a member of the Gospel Coalition Council. And that book as well has a ton of wisdom and practical biblical counsel in it. But I think my top three would be No Apologies, Future Men, and A Guide to Biblical Manhood by Dan Dumas. And then when it comes to books on parenting, I think many of us as parents feel overwhelmed or ill-equipped when it comes to disciplining our kids, catechizing our kids, which is just a fancy but ancient Christian word for educating our kids in the truths of Scripture, truths about God. Catechesis, connected to the word catechism, which was sort of like Christianity 101 for new believers. When we think about those responsibilities as Christian parents, we can often feel ill-equipped and overwhelmed. Now, I think there are dangers on both sides. If we never take the time to read a book on parenting, we're probably making a mistake. If we feel like we have to read 27 books on parenting, and if we're picking those books off the internet or off of somebody's Instagram feed, that's probably also a mistake. We can fall into the ditch of reading so widely that we realize we have multiple authors actually contradicting one another, which can tempt us towards cynicism or paralysis or sort of a scattershot approach. So I think a good rule of thumb is to read more books on parenting than zero, but probably less than five. So I like to recommend three that I think have complementary strengths. And if you spend the next 3 to 5 years working your way through these three books prayerfully with your spouse and seeking to apply them a bit at a time, I think by God's grace, they can serve you well. The first is called Parenting, a very generic title. Parenting, the subtitle is 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family by Paul David Tripp. Many of you are familiar with Paul David Tripp. He's written many, many books. He's written a great book on the teen years called Age of Opportunity. But this book, Parenting, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family, starts with laying the right kind of Christ-centered foundation for our parenting, where we're parenting by faith, not out of fear. We're not trying to control our kids. We're also not checking out and abdicating our responsibility. We're reminding ourselves that we can't control our kids' hearts, but we do need to pray for our kids and we need to pursue their hearts. And he brings a ton of sanity and biblical wisdom to a topic that often triggers a lot of shame or paralysis for us. So that's a wonderful Christ-centered place to start, Tripp's book, Parenting. And then to add a little bit of confusion, his brother, Paul Tripp's brother, Ted Tripp, has also written a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, which is the second book I would recommend. And when I think about that book, I picture a Venn diagram of two overlapping circles, discipline and communication. And that book does such a good job of naming how, in our family of origin, probably one of those two circles, which we need to balance and embrace both of to parent faithfully, was neglected. You know, maybe we were in a home where our parents were quick to discipline, but they didn't do a great job of coaching us or communicating with us. Or maybe we grew up in a house where there was a lot of anxious communication and very little follow through and discipline. So Ted Tripp does such a good job of inviting us to reflect on whether or not we're offering consistent, firm, loving discipline to our kids, but also being quick to teach and instruct and coach and communicate with our kids, and how we're usually neglecting one of those two, and they need to be held in a faithful biblical tension if we're going to parent our kids in a healthy way. And the third book is underrated, I believe, in many ways. It's called Childproof, Parenting by Faith, Not Formula. What a great subtitle. Childproof, Parenting by Faith, Not Formula by Julie Lowe. I love and respect Julie Lowe so deeply. She has biological kids in her home. She has foster and adoptive kids in her home that she and her husband are diligently raising. They have a whole menagerie of pets and other animals. So her home life is not antiseptic or highly ordered and controlled. It's organic. It's full of life. So she knows what it's like to sometimes not be sure who's running the asylum, because there's a lot going on and there's a lot of ages and challenges and backgrounds in the home. But because Julie Lowe is a little B, little C biblical counselor with a lot of years of experience of child counseling in a clinical setting, she brings both a deep commitment to gospel-centered biblical thinking with wise case wisdom. It's not a very large book, but it offers a ton of practical advice, and I find myself going back to that book all the time, not because it's going to be prescriptive or give tips and tricks, but because it's going to invite us to think biblically and practically about a whole host of parenting issues. So those are the three parenting books that I would commend parents spend a few years working their way through together. Now, we live in an age that's uncertain, where people are confused about gender and sexuality and what it means to be a man or a woman. And our kids are going to come home asking hard questions. And hopefully, by God's grace, we're going to broach conversations with them about these things before they've even thought to ask. So I want to throw out a few more titles that could be helpful in that regard. I haven't got a chance to read this book yet because it's so new, but it's written by somebody that I highly trust and respect. Grounded in Grace, Helping Kids Build Their Identity in Christ by Jonathan Holmes. Jonathan Holmes is also a biblical counselor. I've enjoyed so much of his other writing and teaching. And I love this book because it drills into the idea of our kids being made in the image of God and needing to grasp their identity in Christ and not let their identity be poached by academic achievement or sports or sort of the twisted and misguided views of sexuality that are on offer in the world. And so he gives us wonderful tools for helping our kids anchor their identity as image bearers of God in Christ and not in so many other things that the world might offer them as false identities. In a similar vein is a book by Andrew Walker. Andrew Walker is a professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, has written widely on issues of gender and sexuality, and he's written a book for parents called What Do I Say When? What do I say when, A Parent's Guide to Navigating Cultural Chaos for Children and Teens. Fantastic resource, tons of practical equipping. I'll mention one more, Parenting Without Panic in an LGBT-affirming World by Rachel Gilson. Rachel Gilson is somebody who was saved out of a lesbian lifestyle when she was a student at Yale, and has written a fantastic book called Born Again This Way, Coming Out, Coming to Faith, and What Comes Next. She's now married with kids, and she and her husband are an example of God's ability to redeem and renew someone's gendered identity. And so I'm so grateful that she's written Parenting Without Panic in an LGBT-affirming World. The subtitle is Discipling Our Kids with Jesus's Truth and Love, A Christian Parent's Guide to What the Bible Says About Sex, Sexuality, Gender, and Relationships. So certainly that's not the only topic we want to talk about with our kids, but it's also not a topic that we should refrain from talking about with our kids. And we need to be able to do it with a positive vision, God's vision for sexuality, God's invention. It's not something we're scared to talk to them about. And God offers a better vision that leads to human flourishing in ways that the world can never imagine. So we need to do a little bit of reading so that we're not panicking or stumbling or overwhelmed when we broach these topics with our kids and when they come home asking us tough questions. We want to have done just enough homework to not be totally caught flat-footed with the kinds of profound questions that kids are so good at asking. So I hope all that was helpful for you. We certainly don't have as much time to read as parents as we wish we did. If you're not a great reader, I don't want you to feel a ton of shame, but maybe pick one book on that list of raising boys or parenting and commit to work your way through it in the next 12 months. That would be a great accomplishment. The average American finishes less than one book a year. So if you pick even one of these books and soldier your way through it over the next 12 months, you'll be well ahead of the American statistical curve. And then I would say pick one of these fiction books for boys that I mentioned and commit to spend the next 6 months reading it aloud with your sons. And I don't think you'll regret investing your time in them in that way.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of homeschool made simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.